deals with us as children. For whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we have earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. How shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them, but He disciplines us for our good, that we might share in His holiness. All discipline at the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained in it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. In God's value system, discipline is not punitive. Rather, it is good. It is gracious. In God's value system, discipline is not punitive. Rather, it is good. It is gracious. Consider first a woman in the market. She is walking with her child. It has been raining. So what is the traffic light like? It's crowded, isn't it? Things are going very slow. She's behind schedule, isn't she? It's cold and there's a mist. Her child, her little two-year-old, has missed his nap, hasn't he? So he's a little out of sorts. Now, she finally gets to the market. The mist is coming down. She's trying to still try to get into the market. And her son just doesn't see himself, does he? Little Joshua, she touches his forehead. Maybe there's a little fever. Maybe he's teething. Runs her hand in his mouth. Now, just a slight fever, and she's trying to hurry along and pick up a few things so she can get back to daddy, finish dinner before he gets home. Now, she finally gets to bed. Joshua is kind of dragging his feet, but finally, there is a checkout area. Now, at the checkout area, right at little Joshua's eye level, what do they make sure they put? What's that? Some shiny wrapped candy. Yes, all the mothers do that, don't they? Shiny wrapped candy. And she's working out of her purse, trying to get the right shillings out, and she's making change, and she looks over, and what does little Joshua do? He takes a candy, doesn't he? Now, it's decision time for Mike. What is taking something that doesn't belong to you? Now, Leviticus 19:11 says, thou shalt not lie, nor steal, nor deal falsely with one another. It's stealing, isn't it? What has little Joshua just done? He's just stolen. What does mommy do? Well, mommy first takes the high road. She says, oh, Joshua, please don't put that back. And what does Joshua do? Well, what can you? Then mommy, she does something very mature. She says, well, I'm just going to leave you then. And begins walking away. Now, Joshua doesn't buy that, does he? No, he's been down this road, hasn't he? And so if she takes a step away, now he takes a step away. Now you can see it, can't you? Every mother can picture this, can't you? What's going to happen? You take a step towards Joshua. He takes a little step back. He's holding the candy in his hands now, which is now ruined because he's crushed it. What's he about to do? He's about to bolt, isn't he? Haven't you seen this? Mothers chasing their children in the market. Mothers chasing their children in church. Mothers chasing their children in the park. So she can see that happen as if it is happening right now, can't she? She can see Joshua stirring. Now she has to leave her place in line, doesn't she? She has to leave We've been there. We know how it is. And strong will to respect her. So she makes her decision. She wants to be a gracious mother, doesn't she? She wants to be merciful. She doesn't want to live under the law. She says, you can have the king. Then what does Joshua do? He comes and hugs her and says, I love you. And mommy pretends Joshua loves her. And mommy pretends Joshua didn't steal. And mommy pretends she's a good mommy. But none of those things are true. Joshua did steal. Joshua is training mommy, not loving her, isn't he? He's training her for the future. What did God want that mother to do? You see, in God's value system, discipline is not punitive. Rather, it is loving. It is good. It is gracious. She said she was going to be a gracious mother, but she was not a gracious mother. Gracious mothers do not allow their children to steal. 23 years later, Joshua is called to the office by his supervisor. Joshua, see this contract? It's time to get it signed. The company needs this contract. You are going to take the night bus to Mombasa. You'll arrive there in plenty of time. You get a cab. You get over to the corporate headquarters. You get this contract signed. Don't come back here without it signed. You've messed up. After the signatory process, you'll take the corporate president and a few members of the board, you'll take them over to the Hilton, you'll give them a nice dinner, you can spend the night there, take the morning bus back. Do you understand, Joshua? Come back with this son. Joshua gets his son. He calls his wife, get my bag ready. He takes the cab. He grabs the bus tickets. He gets the information on the hotel reservation. He makes it just in time. His wife is standing there. She gives him his bag. He gets down to the bus station. He gets on night bus from Mombasa. How does he feel when he arrives? Does it feel good? Out of sorts. Uncomfortable. His throat is starting to hurt. He gets to Mombasa. It's raining. Wasn't raining in Nairobi. He didn't bring his raincoat or his umbrella. Now he's trying to catch the cab. What's it like? Mombasa, hard tropical rain. There's no cabs available. He finally gets one. It's stop and go congestion all the way to the corporate headquarters. Finally, Caesar, he's looking at his watch. He has an hour to spare. He's already 10 minutes late. Finally, he pays the cab. He dashes the last 2 blocks on feet. He gets there. He's wet. He's got the contract inside his coat. He's trying to shake himself off, make himself presentable as he takes the elevator up to the 15th floor. He finally gets in and meets the receptionist. Oh, we were expecting you at 9:30. It's almost 9:50. You can have a seat here. He sits down, doesn't he? People coming in and out. People talking. He keeps standing up and says, no, you can have a seat. Lunch hour passes. A little while later, finally about 4:30, he comes out. Who's this? This is Joshua. He said, oh yes sir, I have the contract. Joshua! We signed with an elder at 9:45. We expected you here at 9:50. It's 9:30, you can go home. How does he feel? He's wet, he's out of sorts, he's tired, he has a sore throat. Nothing has gone right, has he? Takes the elevator down, gets out, finally gets a cab. Now it's starting to get dark, it's overcast, it's cold, there's a drizzle. He makes his way to the Hilton, he gets out, he steps in a mud puddle. Oh.
tried an apostle. Now what? What else can go wrong? He walks to the Hilton, and what do those doors do? They slide open, don't they? Inside, it's all leather and brass and crystal and tile, isn't it? It's beautiful in there, and people are laughing and talking, and it's warm and so comfortable, and the tinkling of glass can be heard, and as people talk and have tea. Oh, there's nice music, and he can just feel himself relaxing again. There's the front desk, and as he begins to walk to the front desk, there on the right, what's over there? That's the bar, isn't it? There's music there, and laughter. Everybody seems to be having a good time, and the tinkling of glasses, and conversations are being heard as people talk a little louder as they drink, and it just catches his eye, and he looks over there, and there, right there at the bar, is a beautiful young woman in a tight red dress, so short. And she turns and looks at Joshua and smiles and lifts her drink. What do you want Joshua to do? What do you want him to do? It's been a bad day. Nothing's gone right. Is that correct? It's been very difficult for him. What do you want Joshua to do? What do you want him to do? I think the ladies would answer a little more quickly. Your husbands are here, ladies. What do you want Joshua to do? Yeah. What do you want God to do, ladies? Wives, mothers. What do you want God to do? Oh, God's going to be a gracious God. He's going to be a loving God. Poor Joshua. He's disappointed. He's tired. He's out of sorts. Just let him have the woman, right? Isn't that what you want God to do? Is that what? That's what you did to little Joshua, wasn't it? Is that what you want God to do? Let him have the woman. Make King Joshua happy, right? No, that's not what you want. This is what you want. Joshua! The man behind you, turn your cell phone when you leave. Oh, I turned it off. That's right, I turned it off for the minute. He turns it on. It's his wife. Oh, that's right. I don't know what to do. The pipe is broken. There's water everywhere. Okay, hold on. Hold on. He stopped. He called. Brother Raj. Brother Raj. The pipe is broken. Can you go over and turn off the water? Thank you. And then he calls his own brother. Okay, can you go by and pick up Sarah and the kid? Okay, thank you. And then he calls Dr. I'm going to leave immediately, but if you or somebody, just go stay in the house. It's going to be empty. And then he does. And then he checks out of the hotel. He goes home. And on the bus back, he begins reflecting, doesn't he? About how he almost destroyed his life. He almost destroyed his testimony. He almost broke the hearts of his brothers and sisters at church. He almost broke the heart of his pastor. He almost destroyed his marriage, and he almost killed his wife with AIDS, didn't he? But God was good, wasn't he? And he reflects on the fact that being embarrassed in public in the lobby, that hurts. That the money he had saved up to have perhaps to be able to finally buy a car, that was now going to go to the repair work and the renovation, that hurt. And the long bus trip back that, and reflected on his confrontation with his boss, that hurt. But he was so thankful that God intervened, even though it hurt. And later, as he talked with Pastor asked him, share at the men's prayer breakfast, that even though it hurt, God snatched you from a terrible mistake.
Isn't, ladies, that what you want God to do to your husband? Even though it hurts, the statute, isn't that what you pray for your husband when he's on the road? Mothers, that's what God wants you to do. Even though it hurts, even though it's inconvenient, to stop and discipline Joshua and teach him not to steal. And if you have to buy the candy because he's crushed it, then throw it away. Because when is Joshua going to learn that even though you're not feeling well, even though you're disappointed, even though things are going wrong, even though you're in an unfamiliar environment, even though you're out of sorts, you still have to obey. When will Joshua learn that? When he's 2 years old in the market with his mother. Hebrews 12:6 says, whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. The discipline of God reveals his love for us, not his anger. In God's value system, discipline is not punitive. It is good. It is gracious. We need not fear it. Whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. He scourges every son whom he receives. Does the discipline of God bring into question our salvation? Does it? No. It assures us of our salvation. It is those whom God loves that he takes an interest in to discipline and to keep them in fellowship with him. God is proactive in his discipline. We need not fear it. Is the discipline of God an indication that there is something wrong in God's relationship with us? No, God takes proactive steps to keep us in a right relationship with him. Romans 5:8 says, God showed his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God already loved us. His love for us is never in question when it comes to discipline. It's our love for him that is being dealt with. Is God discipline reserved for those with whom God is displeased? No, absolutely not. Hebrews 12:8 says that if you are without discipline, of which all become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. It is because you are not illegitimate. It is because God loves you. It is because God has chosen you to be his child that he takes an interest in you and disciplines you. What percentage of God's children receive his discipline? All of them. You are not illegitimate. Is it something of which we should be ashamed? No. It is a badge of honor. It means God is taking an interest in you. I played two sports in high school, basketball and football. My basketball coach, I thought, was a nice guy. He never yelled at me. He never embarrassed me by taking me aside to work with me. He just let me enjoy practices and have a good time. My football coach, I could not do anything right. He would raise his voice at me. He was always pulling me aside and in front of everybody giving the instructions and making me do things over and over again. I thought he hated me. But when the season came around, I got to start at football. I sat on a bench in basketball and only played when we were ahead. You see, what I thought was hatred was an intense desire on that coach for me to do well. He believed in me, didn't he? What I thought was benevolence was instead resignation and indifference, wasn't it? My basketball coach didn't believe in me. Need we fear the results of the motives of God's discipline in our lives? No. Look down at verse 9. For the children were, we had earthly fathers to discipline them, and we respected them. Shall we much more rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? No, we anticipate the positive benefits of God's discipline in our life, though sometimes it's embarrassing, though sometimes it's painful, though sometimes it's difficult, yet it is always what? Good. God disciplines us for our good. And that's, and our children will learn this as a result of our loving discipline of them. Not indifferent parents. Not lenient parents. Not distracted parents. Involved parents. Parents who are disciplinarians. Parents who are concerned about their children's well-being. Contrast this, if you would, to Romans 1. I'm going to get you to jump around here a little bit in the Bible. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans 1. Turn it with me. Oh, don't you love the sound of that, Pastor? Rustling pages of Bibles, I commend you. You have a church with full of people with their Bibles who move from passage to passage. That's a reflection on your pastor that he is a man of the Word. And I commend you for that, Pastor. God bless you. Romans 1, look at verse 24. Therefore God gave them over. Do you see that passage? God gave them over. Look at verse 26. Look down. For this reason God gave them over. Look at verse 28. And as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over. Is that the blessing of God? No, it's the curse, isn't it? Is that the grace of God? No, it's the judgment of God, isn't it? Whom the Lord loves, He does not give over. He gets involved in their life. He disciplines them for their good. He brings them back into fellowship that they might experience the immediate blessing of God on their lives and the eternal riches that come to those who obey. God is involved in their lives for their success. And yet the world turns this around, doesn't it? The good mommy, the gracious mommy, let the little darlings have their way. God, a good mommy has happy children. It will make that child happy. We should let them do what they want. That's gracious. A mean mommy is a strict mommy. She disciplines her children. They're crying. They're unhappy. She must be a bad mommy. But in God's value system, it's exactly opposite, isn't it? Those whom God has cursed and given over to His judgment, He allows them to go whatever way they want to on their way to destruction. Those whom God loves and is committed to as His spiritual children, keeping them in fellowship with Him, He is ever watchful over them to discipline them, instruct them, and train them for their success, both temporally and spiritually. Isn't that true? That is what God would have you model before your children. That you would be involved in their lives as disciplinarians for their success. Hebrews 12:6. Those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. Do you really believe God's discipline is an act of love? If you don't believe that, you will never believe that disciplining your children is an act of love. You see, the loving discipline of God upon us is made possible because His wrath has been satisfied through the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Christ died in our place, which makes God's loving discipline possible rather than the vengeance of His wrath. In God's value system, discipline is not punitive. It is loving, it is good, it is gracious. You see, your sins have been placed on Christ, on the cross. What does Isaiah 53:6 say? All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us the iniquity of us all. Christ received our sins into his body on the tree, and then the heavy hand of the judgment of God fell upon Jesus as he hung naked on the cross. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might die to sin and then live to righteousness. By his wounds you were healed. It is because of your sin, your personal sin, that Christ suffered on the cross. All of our sins were placed on Christ. Every single one of them. What about the sins you've not confessed? Are they on Christ? I mean, when you became a Christian, your sins were placed on Christ, were they not? But what about the sins after you became a Christian? Well, you try to confess them, don't you? What about the ones you don't confess? What about those? Well, at night I try to say, well, anything I don't remember, please forgive me of that. Okay, great. You're walking across the street, a Mutaku's coming, you think, you know, I'm supposed to be training something, and it's too late. Wham! It hits you. Now what happens? What happens to the sins you haven't confessed? The wages of sin are death. If you have unconfessed sin on your lips, then you must go to hell. Is that the faith that awaits you? None of us confess all of our sins. Let's go back to the first question. When you became a Christian, is that when Christ died on the cross? Is that when he died on the cross? No. That's what separates us from our brothers and sisters in the Catholic Church who believe that every time the Lord's Supper is taken, the body and the blood of Jesus Christ are re-sacrificed. We know that's not true. When was Christ sacrificed on the cross? 2,000 years ago, wasn't he? Were you alive? Was your grandfather alive? Your great-grandfather? No! You, when Christ died on the cross, had you committed any sin? Had you? No, you weren't even alive. And yet, the omnipresent, omniscient, transcendent God reached out into the future, took all of your sins that you had not committed, and he took them and placed them on Jesus Christ on the cross, who became sin for us, and then the heavy hand of God's judgment paid for every single one of those sins. And if God can take the sins you haven't committed before you become a Christian, God can take the sins you haven't committed after you become a Christian. Does that make sense? All of your sins. As a result, God now deals with you as children. His wrath was satisfied in Christ 2,000 years ago. God didn't change. He's still a wrathful God. He's still angry. He still hates sin. But now you are justified because that sin was paid for in the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus Christ from the dead. And as a result, God's wrath is not exhibited towards us. It is his loving discipline. And if we don't understand that as Christians, we cannot practice that as parents. God's discipline is meted out on us for our success because God loves us and wants us to be successful in life. In our relationship with our children, our discipline of them should be done for that very purpose. Success. Not because of anger, not because of vengeance, not because of wrath, but because we are concerned about their success. That's how God deals with us. That's how God deals with us. All discipline, verse 11, for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet for those who have been trained in it, afterwards it produces the peaceful fruit of righteousness. You see, God doesn't want you to be happy all the time. And God doesn't want your children to be happy all the time. If your job is to keep your children happy all the time, who can never cross the child. You can never say no to the child. You have to keep the child happy all the time. That is not God's will for your relationship with the child. And if God's job is to keep you happy all the time, who's in charge? We are in charge, but we are not in charge. God is in charge. He has a disciplined training program for our success. And sometimes it's painful, but it's never bad. Sometimes it causes us sorrow, but it's always for our good. And that is how God deals with us, and that is how God would have us deal with our children. The response that it is God's responsibility to keep me happy, this allows you to make any irresponsible decision and claim the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That is not true. I'm happy in my marriage. I married the wrong woman. I think I'll take a new wife who will get me happy, make me happy. God is leading me to do this. God wants me to be happy, doesn't he? This will make me happy. No, God doesn't want you to be happy and leave your wife and take another wife. I have a chance to go to Cambridge to pursue an advanced degree. I'm going to leave my wife and children for 4 years and pursue my goal. God wants me to be happy, doesn't he? No, God wants you to fulfill your responsibility as a husband and father and stay at home. I have an opportunity for a better job in Mombasa. I can go down there and live 3 weeks out of the month and come home 1 week later. Maybe I can even have a woman in both cities. Maybe I can have it all. God wants me to be happy, doesn't he? No, God wants you to conform your life to his will. Even if it makes you unhappy. Even if you don't get the job you want. Even if you're disappointed in not getting the advanced degree you want. God wants you to obey him. That's what God wants. God wants you to be righteous. God wants you to be holy. God wants you to conform to his word. You may or may not be happy in that process. And in the same way, God wants us to raise our children like that. To be holy, righteous, obedient children. Sometimes they're happy, sometimes they're not, but it's always for their good, isn't it? God is thinking about the future. We should think about the future. Ah, it's football season. The new team is showing up. There's a new coach. All the boys are there. Their mothers are watching them, aren't they? They're out there in the field. The coaches haven't arrived. The boys were there. What are they all doing? They're all kicking the ball, aren't they? Some of them are scoring goals. The ball goes flying off another part of the field. They're laughing, kicking back and forth. Three of all, four balls in play. Everybody's having a good time, aren't they? Then all of a sudden, three men stride onto the field. One is in front, two behind him. They're not smiling, are they? It's the head coach and the assistant. He blows the whistle. And then the coach tells them about teamwork and about the championship and that they are going to be winners. And then he says, okay, let's run. And they run around the field. Oh, man, that's hard, isn't it? And he says, good, now run around again. Now it's really hard. Their sides are hurt. Somebody pulls up. They keep up. Pick up your friends. You guys run as a team. Come on. Run up three in the last 50 meters. Come on, let's go. Let's see it. And they run in. You look at the water. You look at your friend and say, Who is that guy? Oh, man. Does she hate children? Does she? What's he thinking about? Their future success, isn't he? 9 weeks later, isn't it? Two teams tied for the city championship. One is a teenager starting sign. 7 o'clock at night, they're getting to play in the nice stadium for the league championship, aren't they? City league champion. The lights are on. There's now stands, not just mom sitting in folding chairs. Everything, the air of excitement, and the boys are on the sidelines, I think. They've got their new uniforms on. Oh, this is great. And the game starts, and just like any big game with young players, two scores are scored quickly, I think. Yeah, and it's tied 1-1. But then the boys settle down, don't they? And it's a defensive battle all the way. There's a lot of cheering, there's a lot of good play, but no scores. And nobody wants to win on a kickoff today. We want a clear victory, don't we? The other team is bringing the ball back. There's about 90 seconds left. And your son looks, boy, he looks tired, doesn't he? He can see the strikers moving forward. He stays left and he kicks right, just like Coach taught him. Now he's got the ball. He's running down there. The forwards are trying to stay up. They can't. He blows past the forward. He sees his two friends front on the left, front on the right. He passes left. They pass right. He passes left. The defense and fullback are looking at him. They don't know what to do. They blow right past him. There's the ball. He's trying to pick it. He's going left. They pass left. He goes right. They kick it in. No! The guy goes off and they win. What are they doing to the coach? They come lift him up, don't they? He's the hero, isn't it? You have to be your children's hero. You have to make the hard decisions. Ephesians 6:1-3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. God loves us. He is concerned about our success, even when it's painful, even when it's difficult. We need not think, what bad thing will God do to me? God disciplines us for it. Your children should be always conscious. It may be painful. It may be disappointing. It may make them cry. They may not be happy. But when they reflect back on mommy and daddy, they were there for me always. And it was always for my success. Always. And then when they read this passage in Hebrews, where it says that a loving father is there at home, disciplining his children for success. A child of an illegitimate father gets his own way. They'll know what it means. They won't look at it and say, I don't know what that means. Dad was never there. I mean, the household was there and the gatekeeper was there, but dad was never there. No. They will have a clear understanding of the good, just, loving discipline of God in their life as an adult when they are a Joshua and 25 all alone in the Hilton, because when they were 2, they had the good, just discipline of a loving life. Let's stand in close in prayer. Oh Lord God, this is your holy word. You have said, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. There are some here this morning, oh Lord God, who need to repent. The world's cares, the delight of wealth, and the passion of other interests has entered in and choked the word in their life. They are not raising their children. Strangers are raising their children. Their children are in boarding schools. They come home from school to be greeted by household and gatekeepers and relatives. Lord, these parents need to fulfill the personal responsibility they assumed when they asked you for these children, and we pray they would. that they would put the next generation of Kenyan young men and women who love the Lord, that they would put that charge which you have given them above the pursuit of material gain and education gain. If there are any here this evening, this morning, who find themselves distracted parents, this would be the time for you to turn to God. God loves you. Whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. He's there for you, and He's involved in your success. God would have you do no less for your children. Burn this into our hearts, O Lord God of hosts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Lord, thank you, Lord Mountain, for that wonderful voice of your son. As a response to the word of God, all disciplines of the life. As a parent, we may be conscious of discipline. The word of God has come to us clearly from the disappointment. Because God wanted to heal.
Moisture leaves and zinc is
in your family, in your business, in your education, maybe in your job. Maybe this morning you came to the sanctuary by looking at this practice. Maybe you are going right now, you are going through some painful situation. The Lord is disciplining us. The Lord is disciplining. Let's turn to our people. Page number 19, 1 line. There in the storm I can respond. Save my life and let it be. God be present to most of the morning we are here. hope is that he will save some. Not the Lord, Lord, save heaven. Lord, this morning I just hand at your feet what I saved my life. Maybe this morning we are here. You came to us in the sanctuary to worship the Lord. This was the key to your life, your family, your business, your job, your carrier, your education, the Lord. This after the Lord of God is telling us, here to the Lord. Here to the Lord. Ask the Lord to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I give you this. Lord, I give my family to you.
Thank you, brother. It's just all my
people say, you didn't have a TV, what did your children do?
Yeah.
Well, they did their homework,
yeah.
And they read their Bibles,
yeah.
Then they read books,
yeah.
Then they talked to their parents, all those strange things. Yeah,
that's exactly right.
That's true. Well, thank you, God bless you. God bless you, sir. I hope to see you again. God bless you. Hello, madam. How are you?
Oh, now who's this? Hello, what's your name? Really? You're so polite. And you have such pretty eyes. Jesus really blessed you, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's so bright.
She has bright eyes. I'm sure she's very intelligent.
Thank you for your service to this church.
Thank you.
God bless you. You're a source of stability.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you so much. Everything went on so well.
Well, thank you. Well, there, I'll see you Tuesday, huh?
Yes, yes.
Who's this young man? Hello, what is your name? Sammy? My son is Sammy. You're his namesake. So you're a prophet, huh? So do you, Mzungus usually talk this loud to you? No, huh?
It's used to hear you say that other person.
Oh, okay. It's nice to be. Oh, thank you, sir. Well, thank you. Oh, I thought you were going to shake my hand. Ah! So your name is Samuel?
Oh!
Sammy, how old are you? 9. All right.
He's
dead for 9. Ah! Oh, praise God.
He was the dean. He's a dean.
Academic
dean at one of our Christian colleges. And now he's taken as full-time pastor in NPC.
Oh, praise God.
Thank you.
He's joining us soon.
Oh,
no. He's one of the HPGP members of the couples ministry.
Oh, well, praise God.
He's also the elder of this church.
Oh.
So in our ministry, most of the elders are there.
Okay.
There is a good practice.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, you have a fine young man.
Thank you.
And God bless you, Sammy. I know you'll make your father proud. Yeah, like this wise son does. Yes, I remember.
Yes.
Of course. How old is he?
He's 14.
Oh, okay. Oh, he's still young.
Yeah,
he's still young. Yeah, there's plenty of time. Well, you have to think, first is, one thing I would do is, now, is your husband in the home?
Yes.
Okay. So you and your husband, the first thing you would talk about is, why is it important for him to tidy his room? Why?
Yeah.
So, is that him?
No.
So the first is why? Because you want it to, there needs to be a reason.
Yeah.
Besides the fact that you just want it done.
Yeah.
Now we required our children to keep their rooms tidy for three reasons. First is, was in 1 Corinthians, it says God is a God of order, not of confusion. The second reason, order, not of confusion, and we want our living space to reflect that. The second reason was that we are stewards of God's possessions. And so untidy room, a home that is not kept up, means that you are taking that for granted. The third reason is that someday he will have an office desk or a university folder or responsibilities of the church, and if he hasn't learned to keep things orderly, he won't do well in those responsibilities. He'll always be losing things, late, misfiling things, things like that. So those were the three reasons that we did it.
Thank
then,
you for the good work.
Oh, I thank you, brother. Now, then, so we sat down with our son. Yes.
Jigar Tech. Tech. Manasseh Christian College.
Let's see. Do I go there?
Yeah.
If I go where? Tell me again.
Manasseh Christian College.
No, I don't go there. Thank you. We sat down and explained those to them, and then we said, hello!
You said no, no. Before you could not watch the TV, you could not put food on the table,
yeah.
And now you're telling stop. You're telling them how to do it. You said you have been doing it. I do not believe it.
Good.
He's only one.
Good, yeah, well.
You're able to observe the Lord. Thank them.
Oh, praise God. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Oh, praise God.
And our kids, we are one and a half.
Yeah.
They have sins. They do that with their dad. Yeah, this small one.
Oh! Hello! Yes, wooden spoon.
Yeah.
Ah, you're a good mother. Good. They'll make you proud. Then you say, now, you don't want to have to police it 24 hours a day. So we pick three times when we would look at the room. In the morning when they left for school, in the afternoon when they came home, in the afternoon when they came home, we didn't worry about it till dinner time. So it had to be clean in the morning when they left, when they came to the dinner table, and when they went to bed.
So you are checking those three times?
So that's the only three times we look.
Because this one is a border. When he comes for a short time, even if he's so intense, so I've been wondering, but that's what is
advised. And then we would say, if your room is clean,
These are the rewards. If your room is tidy and not tidy, then you lose these privileges and you have to do this job. Then he'll argue with you and fight with you. Yeah, you just sit there and listen for a little while, and then you say, I understand what you're saying. This is why you don't want to do it, but you're going to have to do it anyways. So if you continue arguing, you'll have to clean all the bathrooms in the house. Otherwise, you can agree to this. It's not unreasonable. Yeah, if he's 14 and boarding, then that's a problem also. You see, personally, I wouldn't board my child that young. I would have waited till 16 or 17 because they're under the influence of other people.
So I think that's
better. Yeah.
I'm so good.
Okay.
I have a smaller one who is also changing.
Yeah, good.
I was used to shouting.
Yeah.
And he's actually this bigger one now. When I tell him, that if he was used to me doing more, that he stopped me so much.
Oh, well, thank you. God bless you. And Mr. Raj,
yes.
I'd like to introduce you to this nice lady.
Yes.
She asked me some questions about her son,
uh-huh.
but I'm leaving,
uh-huh.
and you're staying.
Uh-huh.
So you can do some follow-up conversations with Raj.
I like
okay. Hey, you have my stick. Oh. I was keeping my eye on her. I could see her. She was looking at the back gate over there. Oh, my rod. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
We need to run.
We have another conference. God bless you. I'm so happy that you make your mother happy. And I know you won't break her heart, will you? No, I know you won't. God bless you. See you Tuesday. Will I see you Tuesday? Will I see her Tuesday? Good, okay. And I'm not saying goodbye yet. Look, there they go. Wait. I caught you. Okay, somewhere I have a Bible. Hey, how you doing? Yeah, I saw you over there playing the drums. Did you see me looking at you?
Yeah.
I thought that was you. Yeah, no, I couldn't.
Yeah.
Dr. McCallway, do you have my Bible?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have my folder?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look, he's volunteering just to follow me around today and, you know, take care of me. Wasn't that nice?
He's a nice young man.
Yeah.
Say hi to your dad for me, okay?
I will.
See, you look, you're confusing.
Right.
Because 25 years ago when I met your father, he looked like you. So now I feel like...
He was much shorter.
Now I'm feeling like... Now I'm feeling like I'm meeting him all over again.
Well, the only thing I'm missing is respect.
Yeah. Well, you greet your father for me, okay?
Yeah.
Sure, of course.
I remember the name, but not the face.
Yeah, of course I remember you. Yeah, I may be on Zungu, but I'm not that old yet. I'm not losing my memory yet.
Not yet.
Dr. McCallway is after me. Darling, we have to go.
Okay.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you, madam. God bless you. Hello, darling. How are you? Tell me your name. Jessica. And what's your name? You both have such pretty eyes. Oh, you're so blessed of God. You're very welcome. So, are you going forward or backwards?
I'm coming backwards.
No, I don't think so.
I think I will.
No, I don't think so. Okay, I'm going to wait
for
you. Okay, we'll wait over here. Mr. Raj, we're going to come over here. Jessica, come tell me how old you are. You're 11. Oh, good. And what do you? Are you? What mathematics are you taking in school?
Normal.
Uh huh. Oh, good. Good. And are you a good student?
Yeah.
Oh, good. And how about you? How old are you?
11.
Really? Oh, so are you friends?
Yeah.
Yeah, like sisters, huh? Do you go to school together?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so what do you like better, language or mathematics? Do you? Good. How about you? Well, then I know you're very bright young ladies. I just wanted to thank you for being so polite. I know you'll make your parents proud. God bless you both. I'll let you escape now.
I couldn't be there. So
hello, madam. God
hi,
bless you.
God bless you. Thank
why,
you.
Thank you.
So much for blessing us all last time. I had to be in Sunday school, so I couldn't
serve it.
Yeah, I was fun. Yes. Thank you so much.
Excuse me, sir. I don't want you to get run over. Come on. Excuse me. Don't get run over, madam. Come on. Some Zungu traffic. Every church should have a Zungu gatekeeper. Madam, I must invite you to get in the car.
Thank you,
brother.
Thank you.
Reverend, I mean, doctor?
Yes, sir.
I have a black bag and a Bible. Are they both in here?
A Bible, yes. Black bag and a Bible. Yes, it is. I will get
it's in the bag, right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
God bless you, Reverend.
Thank you. That's Mitchell's son, right?
Paul.
Paul.
Paul from my son.
Oh, okay, Paul.
He has.
I recognized the smile, but I couldn't.
He has two sons here.
Oh, okay. Okay. Did Udaborn by any chance give you a cross to pass to me?
He gave me something black to pass to you.
Okay.
And another black to pass to you.
Yeah.
And he really wants to see you and Anna.
Huh? And if it works out, it'll be nice. If it doesn't, I spent 10 days with him.
Yeah.
Then I looked at your office for that memory stick, but I didn't want to go through your things.
It's in my pocket.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That will make Eleanor happy because it has her financial records on it.
Oh, yeah. They are intact. And
good.
The number is intact.
And we went back to Kazuri,
uh-huh.
And we asked about the cross that they're supposed to be making for us.
Uh-huh.
And he said, well, it's just not ready yet.
Oh.
And I said, well, we leave in a week. And
uh-huh.
He said, well, let's hope. So he doesn't.
He wasn't.
No, motivated at all. I was really surprised. Eleanor thinks all their crosses that they sell have Christ on them, the crucifixes.
Uh-huh.
So Eleanor thinks he may not want to make a cross that's not a crucifix,
uh-huh.
Because he's Catholic. So, but I don't know that.
Huh.
But it seems unusual that he's great.
And he made all those other things for us.
Huh. Have you paid a deposit on it?
No. Uh-uh.
That seems unusual. Was he remembering?
Oh, yeah. He knew. He knew exactly what I was there for.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All they have to do is...
Yes. Hmm. Well, we can see. I can see him every day of this week.
Oh, no. Where he must. Thank you. Oh, thank you, madam.
I thought we could wear him out.
You wouldn't have to see him every day, but by you talking to him, you might discern if it's really going to happen or not.
Okay.
Because if it's not, we want to get her across from Kenya.
Yes.
So we'll probably buy one at the market.
Yeah, okay. And you do want to go to the market after 5 o'clock today.
Well, what time? Oh, we start at 2, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Huh.
There'll be a snack lunch thing for fun.
Yeah.
I'm sure you know. The priority right away is to get something in your stomach.
We'll head straight there.
Yeah, we'll head straight there.
And see what happens.
There'll be plenty of sandwiches.
Oh, good.
And I'll go out and get you some Diet Coke. Which you can drink as you teach.
Slava Boga.
Yeah, I think it went well this morning.
Good.
At MCG by the road.
Did you get a lot of names here?
I got all the sheep back, but I haven't analyzed them. Yeah. I had a bunch of sheep too that I passed out.
Yeah,
well, that's...
With us, a lot of times, we have only 200 names, but there's only so many students, really.
Yeah.
20 names.
So the real work now begins, eh? Right?
Yeah.
Those people.
Mm-hmm. Emailing them. I didn't get their addresses. I just got their email and their text. So
okay.
Their phone numbers.
My sheet had a list of phone
numbers. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Did that lose its way?
Yes, only briefly.
Thank you, Mr. Rahman, my mom.
Mm-hmm.
When he and I were interacting yesterday, he said, are you sure you know where the church is? He said, oh yeah, I'm sure I've been there before. So I asked him, what road is it on? It's all Raptor Road, and they're talking about a different
church. Yeah, talking about that Baptist church. Well, the problem was his wife kept contradicting the map.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was telling him to turn right.
But the map was accurate.
The map was accurate. So finally, he quit listening to her. No, they weren't enjoying it at all. Well, he was. He seemed to be a little bit. She was not enjoying it at all.
Yeah. No.
Well, I'm sure she thought I said some things for her, but I didn't. They're just in the notes.
Yeah. And in the background, she's last born in her family. And her mother gave her up to be her older daughter, her sister, to raise her, because she was too embarrassed to have had her son late in life.
Oh.
So there's a real issue between her and her mother. Her mother died about 10 years ago at age 80. And I think Gideon was, in her late 30s. So her mother was, well past, in her mid-40s when she got her. And so I think that bit in her has always wanted to prove herself, that inner struggle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so to prove herself, she gave up her own children.
Yeah.
But so many times I've seen that. Children who are so angry at their parents because their parents were alcoholics, who themselves become alcoholics.
Yes. She called me on Friday. She's telling me, son, I didn't know there was a conference in the healthcare office on Sunday afternoon. I said, well, how do you know? Well, somebody called me and I'm really disappointed because, you didn't tell us about it. I said, well, maybe your husband and I talked about it. He got an email. He called me back in response to the email. We talked about it 2 weeks ago. I told him that if he wasn't able to come to the NAB office one, he could come to Parkland.
Mm-hmm.
So your husband is very much aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
The email was sent out. I'm sorry if you don't know about it.
Yeah. Well, I find sometimes in their conversations it's a little manipulative anyway.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
Both of them can be.
Yeah. So I said, what else can I do? The email was sent a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
A reminder was sent 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Your husband and I have talked on the phone. I'm really sorry that you don't know about it.
And when we invited them to come, I said, now this is just going to be 2 45-minute sessions with no question and answer, but there's going to be a 3-hour session.
Uh-huh.
We'll cover it all the same material, and you'll get to answer questions. And she said, we have other plans.
Oh, yeah, they're teaching at their church.
Oh, yeah, so why are they upset? They weren't going to come anyway.
Yeah, yeah, really, that's it, yeah. They're upset, and yet, so anyway.
They're upset, so you say, well, we'd love to have you. Well, we have other plans.
Yeah, well, the same thing. I invited her to Tasha's birthday. I made sure I sent her a text message and sent her husband an independent message. And she called him, sent them back to the floor, not available. Her husband did come 20 minutes to the end.
Yeah.
But she can't, you don't invite, they can't come.
Well, that's, I know on my fundraising desserts, if I don't have a fundraising dessert in all my major cities every year,
mm-hmm.
my donors are upset.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean they're going to come.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do, and I go up there, and the ones that come, I have a great time with. But I know that a lot of them will
three donors for another year because they had the opportunity to come,
yeah.
Not because they came.
Yeah.
But if I don't have it, then they feel neglected. So I just accept the reality of that. The people who are hosting the desserts will get an invitation list with 50 names on it and start to panic. And I'll say, no, there'll just be 10, believe me. So, well, my only concern is that with Anzaya teaching Finn wisdom and life skills, that he will choke on the responsibility of the mother because of his wife. Because what he can't say is, now, sometimes, you know, your wife has an opportunity to pursue an advanced degree, and she just needs to leave and go do it. So that would be my concern.
Yeah. They use proportion monthly, generously. In the past year.
Do they die?
No, they stop. And something funny going on. She's there, the people looking over there. Something unusual is going on. Well, you know,
I mean, you can't keep him from teaching on the family.
No.
But in terms of representing GCI or the navigators, you can share with them.
Yeah.
Because I share with people, like, if I had a couple who were divorced, I would say, now, this is not the unforgivable sin. And if you want to lead a Bible study, you can lead a Bible study. But if you're going to use my material and say, we learned this from John, then when you get to this, you have to say, we sinned.
Yeah.
Divorce is sin. And I've only known one woman who will do that, and that's Eleanor's friend from Stillwater named Nancy Fleet. And she would say that. It was wrong.
I know that.
If I had it to do over again, I wouldn't do it. But don't make the mistake I made. So if Anzaya can say that, then, you know, it'll be a strong testimony.
In the shoes get home at 4 days from training.
It's a shame they didn't come to the marriage seminar.
Oh, they wouldn't come to that.
I know, but it's still a shame they wouldn't.
They wouldn't come to that, yeah. Well, you know,
they were cordial, but not warm.
Yeah, he called me last night. He answered. He said, I'm only going to come to the partner. I said, when I'm glad you're sure you're coming, and I'll let you do the job. Because, you know, I can make other arrangements. I want to be at the meeting. He said, yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm coming. And that's all right. And then I got thinking, oh, he may not really know the right church. So I sent him a full text message. Spending out the name of the church, not just NPC partners, but the full name. Do you know where this church is? So the last thing I wanted to be gathering all over, wondering where is the church, you know? Yeah, in the little rain, the jackaranda was planted.
Well, the pastor asked me for my business card. That's always a good sign. He said, if they're not real happy, they'll be cordial, but they won't ask you for your card. They're happy to just let you slip through their fingers. Good. Oh, about
bad company. Okay. Revisit it. Okay, I will. Yeah. Friends. No, I'm glad for you too, hon. I appreciate it. I've asked you to help me. Oh, good. That gentleman was going to stand there and hold the mic for me while I talk.
Oh, was he going to?
Yeah, I thought he'd tell. No, I can't actually do that. Isn't that nice?
I mean, they put a sun in the bed of mice, don't
they? Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to make a big deal of it, but when I talk, I like to use my hands.
Yes.
I like to, I have my notes in one hand while I'm flipping the Bible with the other one.
Uh-huh.
And when you have a mic in your hand,
yeah,
you're okay. Doing your notes and your Bible one-handed.
So you want the lapel microphone, that's better.
Yeah, or just a mic stand, but that's not as ideal because you wander away from it. Well, I had a whole receiving line of men and women introducing me to their obedient children and telling me how terrible they were, right to their face, but how good they were now. Because of coming to the seminar. That it was like, my job was so disobedient, I was so embarrassed, we were afraid to leave the house. And now he's such a good boy, and he just praised God. And he said, and it only took 2 weeks. And then one lady said, and I got one of those. One of those. And I said, wooden spoons? And she said, yes, I bought one. And the other lady went, me too. And they were all the sisterhood of the wooden spoon.
I need to get you another one.
Oh, I want to get, next time I come, I'm going to go to the Nakamada and get one of those giant paddles. Say, now this is a wooden spoon. I almost brought one home. I was going to engrave Kristen's name on it. Give it to you, eh? I thought her eyes would get very
dark. I've actually done that. We've written each other.
Oh, really? Have one for each child?
We would never make it with just one.
Yeah, and plus I kept breaking them. Time for healing. Ev Lauren Davis. And so what? Ev Lauren Davis. I don't know. Healing and change.
Yeah, I don't know how you're going to fight this. I'm going to promise you this. But I can do that.
Well, I've been thinking about this a lot. It kind of comes in cycles. But I was comparing the fact that in the book of Acts, individuals might come and seek out the apostles seeking healing, but they also could just heal as they went. They, like Jesus, went to that pool where he knew there were no frauds. It was all these lame people, and then he healed them. Because the other thing healers are susceptible to, and they allowed, and I think many times they allow themselves to be susceptible to this, is to people who will just play the game with them.
Yes. Yeah. And then in God, Jesus said, one person for the
community.
Mm-hmm. Instead of giving your life to invite people to heaven.
To a conference.
Yeah. Because God hasn't sent you to do it.
Yeah.
We put ourselves under unnecessary pressure.
But the main problem is there's a lot of money to be made in those companies.
Yeah.
Because people, it's just like the Catholic Church, they have those coin boxes out under the saints' pictures.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're gonna believe and you're gonna give, and
You know, you don't want to do anything to spoil the spell. So they really dump their money in those baskets. But the main thing Jesus did was he allowed his enemies to check his miracles. And their response was not that the miracle didn't happen, but that it was from the devil.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And that's the real thing that bothers me, is how protective many of these men are of, you know, of their miracles. You know, there's no, you know, Jesus would be happy to have a high priest who hated him intensely research this man out and see if he wasn't lame and walked or blind.
Yeah.
That didn't bother Jesus a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll never see that.
We're going to start on time, Doctor.
Well, I asked the girls to make sure that lunch is ready to be served at or before 1:30.
Good.
Not people hanging around at 1:30, 1:30.
This is you? That's you?
That's me.
That's you. And then somewhere, there's a Bible.
The Bible is...
And there's a folder.
Is in the front, in the box, in the back.
Oh, good. And there'll be a folder. Eleanor and I are going to grab something to eat real quick.
Okay.
Could I impose on you to bring the folder in with the Bible?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Hello, how are you? God bless you. Hello, madam. You're here and ready. Oh, look, you're wondering what this was, huh? This was marriage yesterday. Today is teenagers, today. Okay. Oh, this is nice. Let's get this cross breeze going. God bless you. It's looking good. I was following my nose. Oh, no, I'll run out there. Let's just let me kind of get organized here. Okay. This is the message. That's clever.
Thank you.
That'll go in the box. This will go in the box. This will go in the box. In that bag. Yeah. Thank you, darling. 11-2, 11-1.
All right.
Okay. 1, 2, 3. We did the first series, didn't we? We are on chapter 12. Slava Bogo. Yep, 11 and 12. Good. Praise God. We did 10. Okay? Okay, let's grab a bite to eat. Maybe we can write on the whiteboard. This is. Or the white water. Oh, I can slow down a little bit. Ooh, yeah, hon. Would you mind fixing me a sandwich, please? Hello, sir. How are you?
Good, good.
Hello, Jane.
Hello, how are you?
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Yeah. Familiar faces. Hello, Patricia.
Hello, Don.
How are you?
Hi.
How are you? Anne, good to see you. Hello, John, my namesake. Yeah, do you want me to shake your hand like this? I'll shake your hand. Hello. Everybody thinks I have German-fisted hands. That's all right.
spend so much time writing notes and instructions and directions with this and that and that person with this, who did what, why you got here.
Yeah, you probably are.
What a way to go, man.
Yeah.
I really just came over this morning and bought a couple more, just a couple more other sugar candies.
Twins.
Twins.
Yeah.
That's right at birth.
Yeah, we just discovered each other about 5 years ago.
I've got the sun, he got the snow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now he's here to thaw, now the house is freezing.
Strange but true.
Mm.
So you're not eating sandwiches, huh?
I will, that's nice. I will.
Oh, no, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm holding out for a Diet Coke. My friend told me he would supply it. He's my friend.
As you teach, he'll be sipping. Mm. Don't worry about it now. He'll be here.
This is good. Darling, thank you. Oh, yeah. Well, it makes it sweeter. Anything she touches, it's like you sprinkle sugar on it.
Are you ready to go back to America?
No.
You're going. We've had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
We can still have a good time to work at
Bella.
Oh, I'm
going to
do
wherever I am, I never want to leave. So that gives me hope, because I know wherever I go to, I won't want to leave there either. Hello, how are you? You're welcome. Have a sandwich. You're among friends. Oh, have lunch. Oh, yeah. So you're a pulpit, huh? Pulpit.
Ah, yes.
You're ready to preach.
Yeah. You let me.
Mm-hmm.
Let me take your time.
Mm-mm. We'll just add more.
You go to church today?
Mm-hmm.
Where?
MPC Parkland.
Where?
I preached three times.
Where?
MPC Parkland by the Hindu temple. Good doctor.
Ah! Yes, my friend goes there.
Mm-hmm.
A guy called Sam.
Oh, yeah.
Sam, he's an Asian.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
It's about one-third Asians.
Sam Rusty. Yeah.
I did two lectures on teenagers and then the morning service.
Mm.
My wife was dressed for the, they, the agents gave her an outfit, so.
And you're preaching today?
Mm-hmm.
Are you preaching today?
Uh-huh. Mm. I did two morning lectures of 1 hour each,
mm-hmm.
and then the morning worship service I preached again. So today I'll be preaching again. So I have preached about, taught or preached about 6 hours today.
Where will you be preaching later?
Right here.
Yeah.
Mm. You don't consider it preaching, huh? Okay. The teaching?
Teaching. Well, both. It's more teaching.
You make it look pretty. It looks pretty on you.
Thank you. I did buy a stuff in the market.
Mm-hmm.
I got a little cool. I have something for you.
shoulders and it's not really straight enough to spread it. So
yeah.
At least not for me.
Very colorful. Yes, come on, that will be come back.
Well, I thought some before it should have been made into wood, but it's wood.
John! You have the right idea. I'm going to follow in your footsteps. This is seconds, isn't it? It's delicious. Did you get home safe?
Yeah.
Good.
Well, if you go to Francis Plaza, upstairs,
yeah.
Francisco up there.
Ian's been wearing Bob's jacket for what?
Now in America, Italian suits are a big deal.
Yeah. But he doesn't have a suit coat at all. Yeah.
Well, yeah. People wear suits all over the world. What's so big about the Italians?
Yeah.
Why don't they want English suits?
Yeah,
I guess.
That game is called George.
I guess the mafia guys all wear suits. Maybe they can sell lots of them. Isn't that right? All the mafia guys, they always wear these black suits.
Yeah.
Mafia, if you wear a black suit, you either work for the mafia, the Baptist Church, or the KGB.
Oh boy.
Black suits, black shoes, white shirt. Mormon.
Black.
Your bad cook will be here. Don't worry. This gentleman who helps you, he's a Christian, isn't he? He's not the one that you were telling me that you were unhappy with the life he was leading.
No.
No.
He's a Christian. He's concerned about Francis.
Good.
No, the one I'm unhappy with, he's in the compound.
Okay.
And he's been here for 20 years, and I'm not even sure that he's here.
Thank you. After a good lunch like that, you have a football game and a nap. I have to work to keep you awake, won't I? Maybe? got me? I believe it's 5 o'clock. Hold on, I can tell you exactly. 2 to 5. Please. Thank you. That's very thoughtful of you. Oh, no, no, I like. All right. What a good row, right there. Now that makes me feel good. There's a row. They're all sitting there. They're all prepared. They're all ready.
All ready.
I better be ready to...
I better give them a few minutes to eat.
I better have my goods. If they're going to come sit there,
yeah,
be so quiet, so orderly, I better have something significant to say.
He's the director for Life Ministry.
Oh, okay.
That's almost a surprise, right?
Yeah. New Life Ministries?
Life.
Life. Now, New Life Ministries is Campus Crusade. Are you all with Campus Crusade? My daughter, Rebecca, was in Mozambique with her husband with the Jesus Film Project with Campus Crusade. They called it their new life, or life, new life. And my other daughter was in East Asia for 3 summers. My first daughter, she was in the Middle East 1 summer, and then she and her husband went for a year to Mozambique. And Campus Crusade, New Life Ministries, was a great blessing to my children and my family. I'll always be indebted for the campus staff who watched over them. Yeah, I am. It is a wonderful ministry. I can never say Navigators, New Life Ministries, both. They're consistently good. Other InterVarsity, Baptist Student Union, some of the others, they have good campuses and bad campuses. But Navigators and New Life are consistently. You still use those yellow books? 4 spiritual laws?
Uh-huh.
All right. Yeah. I remember my daughter called me and said, Daddy, my Bible study leader says that on Tuesday night, everybody in Bible study is going to knock on doors in the dormitory and share these yellow books. I said, well, sweetheart, just read the yellow book, and if it's the truth, it'll be a good experience. And so she did. That was the truth. So she went. One of the most important decisions she made. I love those yellow books. We do the family discipleship seminar with New Life Ministries in Belarus and with New Life Ministries in Russia, in Moscow. Not St. Petersburg, but the Moscow has us there about every year. They have us down to give it. They use it to recruit young married students and young couples into their Bible studies. So, yeah, keep track of Dr. McCauley, because if there's ever any way I can serve your ministry when I'm in town, you know, I would be more than happy to do something. So, do you have teenagers? Oh, good. Oh, good. They're with Campus Crusade, with New Life Ministries. But they call it Life here, Life Ministries. Now they're all alive. Sometimes it's New Life, sometimes it's Camp Alive, sometimes it's Life. At least they're all alive. That's the most important.
Are you recording to me as well?
Hmm?
Are you recording this?
Oh, yes. Are you happy?
I'm always happy.
Okay, just accept when you're sad.
That's right. That's right.
Even your children can quote you on that.
Always happy, sure,
bad. I'm happy, but a little dry.
Yes.
You know that exactly. A little dry. Hello, sir. How are you?
Very well.
Doing well? Good to see you, Governor. Yeah. Please, we're going to start momentarily, I would say in about 2 minutes. Okay, turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Proverbs 22:13. We're not quite going to start